This time of year is not only a stressful time for families, but it's a stressful time for your home, too. Most homes really have one identity. They're the place where you come home and live. Occasionally, you've got guests. You know, the kids come and go, parents come and go, friends come and go. But at the holiday time, there's actually schizophrenia. There's the highest form of public display of your residence. And at the same time, there is extreme chaos and mess, confusion. I mean, it is the anti-Martha time. You know, basically, when I think about Martha Stewart and any number of shall we say, lifestyle consultants, I think that they just live in a vacuum, in a bubble. They don't really realize that your life is either all pretense, pretending that you're not going out of your mind with insane stress and freak out, or you've given it up and you are going a total freak out, stress, wild times. Anyway, so my solution for this, and I tell all my clients this, is you've got to give over whole chunks of your house to chaos. Let the chaos reign. Let it be its own wild, uncontrollable, just sea of anarchy, so that you can have another part of your house be a sort of little dome of control. So that you can go from chaos to control in equal measure. And where I am in our little weird duality world here in Madison, Connecticut, is we have the house that we built and added onto for our kids. That's the dome of control. Then we have, on the other side of the 200-year-old white oak, we have the barn of fun. And that is the realm of chaos. And as we're standing here in this room, you can see that where we normally would have a ping pong table, which is also a big foosball thing, and a seating arrangement to watch the TV that our kids use, we've brought in the outdoor tables. We brought them in, and we have got two tables side by side just for wrapping presents. And the wrapping is still here. Everything is here. It's just total chaos.
I can see, actually, we have the... This is the receipt here. I'm able to tell now exactly how much you've spent.
Now dig this. This is how screwed up we are. We went to a great place in Guilford, and we spent... Oh, my God. What did we spend? Oh, no. This is... I'm lying to you. This is my Stop and Shop receipt. But we did buy chocolate turkeys.
This is groceries. Yeah. What do we got on there?
We did buy chocolate turkeys. And, well, look at that. And chicorina soup. And look at all the chocolate turkeys we bought for $1.99 each. But, you know, I was going to say is that a bunch of this stuff was actually from a store. We spent over $200 on papers.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the sad legacy of being an architect, is you care about things like texture and color and paper. And you want to hear reverse sexism. I do all the wrapping in the family, all of it, and I wrap with sort of almost bizarre precision and intensity. And oftentimes the wrappings cost more than the gift because you buy a paper from Italy or you've got this red. So and everybody that gets these gifts says, "Oh, Liz, they're so wonderfully wrapped." And I'm going, that would be me.
Yeah, hello.
I did the wrapping, and then they doubt my masculinity. But
basically what happens in our house is because my wife does all the Christmas shopping, I get no credit. I go invisible.
Zero.
Basically during
there.
Christmas. Yeah. I'm not there.
A wonderful choice. Yeah, God help us. Anyway.
So you've got this, it's great. It's an outdoor table now that you've got heaped with all kinds of wrapping and stuff.
Yes,
and your other home... then becomes...
But there's also a secondary thing. I don't know what about you, but I have a small business. You know, I'm an architect. I send out over 700 Christmas... Well, they're not Christmas cards. They're not even holiday cards. There's like New Year's cards. It takes so long to do them that it's a joke. I get them out before like the spring solstice or whatever it is, equinox. But anyway, I get them out. But I give over. You see, the other table here, we actually have the beginnings of Christmas / New Year's / Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, whatever card time. And that lasts 2 weeks. And so I come here in off hours, sometimes spending late nights, just writing notes to all my old clients, my old friends. It's the one time I can reconnect. So if you do cards, if you like to wrap things, if you do parties, what we do here is, you know, there's always a room in your house that you don't use too much. And that could be a basement, could be a guest room. I advocate giving that over not just for things like cards and wrapping, but if you like do that we do, like if you make cookies or if you make, we do, I know, don't Don't think less of me. We actually make fruitcakes.
Oh, no. So you're the one.
We're the source
of all fruitcakes.
It's a Craig Claiborne recipe from the early 80s. I will show it to you. And actually, we deliver it to a mutual friend of ours, the Clarksons. We drive it up to Nan and Will Clarkson, who visit our friends, Allison and Oliver Clarkson Goodenough, up in Woodstock, Vermont, and we bring this fruitcake up. And because it comes with us, and it is essentially the same size and weight as an infant, we call it the baby Jesus fruitcake. Now, unfortunately, we'd be thrown in jail because the baby Jesus fruitcake gets about a quart of alcohol in its creation and in its soaking. So it's got fetal alcohol syndrome, baby Jesus fruitcake stuff together. But anyway.
And you're transporting it over state lines into Vermont, into the wilds of Vermont.
That's right. So, but what we do is we actually then have a separate kitchen in the Barn of Fun. And in the Barn of Fun, we will actually, like, if you can smell it a little bit, this is actually what's called a SIPS panel building. Or this, when we built this, it has a wood frame, and it's absolutely tight as a drum. It's super tight. And I made a pot roast here 2 weeks ago because we were actually making fruitcakes. Now, 2 days ago, we were actually making fruitcakes in our house. So we couldn't have two. So we actually have the old oven here, and we actually figured out a way that we would separate cooking. So there'd be holiday cooking in one place, eating cooking in another. And the other thing which I would really advocate for all of our listening friends is that eat out. Eat out. Don't try to have normal cooking for 2 or 3 weeks at the end of the year because you're never going to be able to do it. The meals will be stressed. They'll be horrible. Go to McDonald's. Go to Friendly's. Just go someplace so that you can do all the junk you have to do in your kitchen that involves the chaos. So accommodate the chaos in your kitchen.
We're speaking with architect Duo Dickinson about preparing for the holiday onslaught. We're in the final moments, actually. And basically wrapping up, your thought is, your concept is that we really need to carve out a separate hunk of the house and just let it rock.
Yes. Basically, you know, you are in, realize that you are in control. The holidays don't control you. And your house is your kingdom. It's the one part of the world that nobody can tell you that you can't do something. So take the part that you don't use and turn it into chaos land so that you can then have real pride in polishing and burnishing and making your most public face something that you can be happy to show your friends.
Duo Dickinson is an architect, parent, and inhabitant of the Barn of Fun.